College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
High noon on Celtics Wednesday. It is Jones and Keith on WEEI. We talk Celtics to start the show. Mixed in some Bruins and Super Bowl 59 thoughts. Drake May, where does he stack up with all these quarterbacks? It's time to get back to the seas with Justin Turpin of WEEI. He joins us every Wednesday at high noon. What's up, Turp?
What's up, guys?
Hello. Big trade just moments ago, so we get your instant reaction to the Jaden Springer deal.
Yeah, it was always the most likely trade. Yeah. I mean, they were chopping this in the offseason. It's a 22-year-old guy, and you would hope that his recent play would have given a little bit more than just a salary dump, but you save $15 million in taxes by getting rid of him. He was making $4 million on an expiring deal, so this was by far the most likely outcome, and it's not really surprising that it happened.
So is it a move just to save money, or is it a move to get below, the second apron? So that they can make another move.
Yeah, they can't get out of the second apron regardless.
So they didn't get under any threshold with this move. It's just a bookkeeping thing.
This was a bookkeeping thing, yes. So they just saved $15 million with the repeater tax.
Does it free them up to make a move for a veteran on the buyout market, a little higher salary for that?
No, because they'd still have to be under the mid-level
exception. All it is just saving Irv some money before he gets out.
It was
$15 million, though.
Book move. That was $15 million.
Yeah, what do I care about Irv's $15 million?
What do you care about Jaden Springer?
But I don't know.
That's a lot to pay for a guy who wasn't really playing.
Like, would you pay $15 million
against the team they traded him to?
If he wasn't even in the playoff rotation.
Okay, but would I rather have a player who has been in the rotation or save Irv some money? I'd rather have the guy on the team.
I know. I mean, I guess. But, like, if they were... I don't think he does much. But averaged 5 minutes
this move doesn't do anything. It doesn't do anything.
It saves him $15 million.
Yeah, save
him to use it for what?
They're going to give it back to the fans.
Right. This goes right into Irv's pocket. What do I care about that?
They're going to do a big money drop in the garden, and all the fans get to grab it. Here's Jaden Springer's money.
They're completely locked into the second apron, so they can't.
I thought this would give him some kind of benefit beyond just saving some money. It gives him no benefit.
It's just a salary dump. That's all. And unfortunately,
I don't care about it like you do. It's not like they salary dump Drew Holiday or like Porzingis.
But I don't care about Jaden Springer.
It kind of sounds like you do.
No, but it's just at the end of the day, you're trading a guy who you deemed a roster spot worthy of to now just save a few bucks.
It just didn't work out. I think.
What was your favorite Jaden Springer moment?
It was the comeback the fourth quarter game against the Bulls. I like those 7 minutes against the Rockets.
He lit it up.
I mean, it just didn't work out with the shooting. I think that's what kept him off the floor.
Not to spend a lot of time on this, but Udoka, I think is going to be
a great fit. I mean, look at how defensive heavy that scheme is in Houston. Like, that's going to be a great fit.
They're going to be such a pain in the ass to play. Like, I think they're going to lose in the playoffs.
Do you guys like him or do you not? If he's a great fit on the Rockets, what are they trading him for?
They don't use him here. They don't even play him here. He's got nowhere to go. He doesn't shoot. They need him to shoot more.
Like $15 million in taxes is a lot to pay for a guy that's not going to crack your rotation in the postseason. If he did, it'd be the end of quarters.
Yeah, he's not even a top 10 guy on the team, I don't think.
Like he fell out of the rotation.
He just played against the team they traded him to, who's in a playoff push.
Right, but we're talking about the basketball in February. We're talking come postseason. He's not going to be in the rotation. You don't want to pay $15 million for that guy. It totally makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know. You don't know who's going to be in the rotation if there's injuries and things like that. So if it's just saving money, if it's just saving money, I don't like it. Do you think it's interesting the Celtics made a deal with Ime? Just period. The Twitch chat pointed this out. It's a good observation.
Yeah.
Do you think it's interesting that they were just willing to make a deal with the Rockets and Ime, period?
I don't, because those two guys never overlapped. Like, Springer only played for Joe. Those two never overlapped. And, again, you look at just, like, the type of player he is. I think he's one of the best on-ball defenders in the league. And you put him in a very defensive, heavy scheme in Houston, and they have assets to trade. It makes sense, especially if you can get a pounce on a guy like that.
Now you're talking me out of it, Terp. If he's that good defensively, maybe I want him.
You also look at what they have, and he's on an expiring deal. Who would have known if he would have came back? Though he is a restricted free agent this offseason, who would have known? Yeah. So it's just... The $15 million is a lot to pay for a guy that's just not going to really play.
He only played over 10 minutes three games this year. That Bulls game that we talked about, actually twice against the Bulls. So he clearly has some sort of matchup against the Bulls that they liked. And then also against the Clippers a couple of weeks ago. where he hit two big threes.
So I thought this would at least give him an option to get more than a $12 million, $13 million player on the buyout market.
Well, what about, is this one of something else? Not necessarily to bring somebody in, but is there anybody else likely to go that would then free them up, or there's really nothing they can do?
I mean, the only other one I could see them moving on from is Xavier Tillman.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Jalen.
No, they're not going to.
Oh, Tillman,
I mean,
maybe?
Yeah, I think Tillman's the only other one. I mean, Jordan Walsh would be a long shot, I guess, but I just don't see any way that happens. So they're gonna maybe keep looking. Of course, they're having conversations like they do every year, but I'd expect them to be more active on the buyout market, maybe even keep one of those open roster spots because they have two going into the postseason.
Celtics Wednesday here on Jones and Keefe. You want to talk Celtics, your phone number to do so, 617-779-7937. Good time to ask Terp any questions about the team. He covers them. He's there every day. So you can ask those on the phones as well. You probably were less concerned than certainly I was, and even Keefe, about the Celtics. Is last night the evidence for those out there who feel the team got a little bored, they were having a rough patch, but there were no reasons for concern, they can flip the switch whenever they want to? Is last night evidence for that crowd that they can turn it on when they need to?
For sure, and I even think the Philadelphia game was too. I mean, when they go down and they come back with that big run, they just flip the switch, and it hasn't always worked. They've played a lot this year like they can just turn up like that. They did against Philadelphia. Obviously that wasn't going to work against a team like Cleveland, but yeah, when they defend, wonderful things happen when they play defense and make their shots. So we're starting to see them start to ramp up, and Kristaps Porzingis talked about it last night, where they're starting to start bringing that intensity night in and night out. And we've been saying it for the last couple weeks, like, it's not realistic to expect them to bring that every single night. It's just not winning the reigning champions. Last year, everything mattered because they were trying to prove something. Now they've proved it, so it's a lot different.
First four-game winning streak since, like, Thanksgiving.
End of November.
Right? Like,
yeah.
End of November.
And they ripped off seven in a row.
Yeah, so it's been a little while. What's your Keefspiracy on Jaylen Brown not playing at the end of the game?
Well, I think, first of all, with the five fouls was a thing. I think Chris Forsberg, you mentioned earlier, was talking about maybe there was an injury thing, and we went back and pulled up the tape, and in the first quarter, he stepped on Max Strus stepped on his ankle, and he was a little shaken up by that, and he's been dealing with ankle things. But I think it really just comes down to it was working. They outscored them with Jaylen off the floor in the fourth quarter, and Joe Mazzulla, to his credit, or, you know, people like to read into it a lot, though, he's not afraid to, you know, get away from those people. Like, he's kept Derek White on the bench on the closing lineups. He's kept Drew Holiday. He's done it plenty of times. And I'm sure Jaylen wasn't happy about it. I know that was going to come up, and he's 100% not happy about it. But they're trying to win. Like, they are trying to win, especially in that scenario against Cleveland. They had a 15-point fourth-quarter lead. If they had to win that game, if they blew that lead, then the conversations, all that goodwill they've built over the last couple of games would have just went right back to zero.
It was a crazy game for Jaylen, too, because he scored first 13 points for the team.
And then he's the only guy who could score to start the game for either team.
But then he scored 16, I think, for the game.
Yeah.
And he had a technical foul mixed in there in the second half. Like, he clearly was getting frustrated. So maybe it was ankle. Unfortunately, Mazzulla wasn't even asked about it after the game. So we'll have to wait until, I guess, they come
home. Does he have availability today? Like, do they do, like, a practice or anything?
No, he won't talk again until tomorrow before the game.
Okay.
So, yeah, they're home tomorrow against that new-look Mavs team.
Doesn't sound like AD's going to play, though. Sounds like Saturday.
Well, no, they traded two hurt guys for each other. Everyone's, like, so excited about this deal and, like, all hyped up about it. It's like, what are they going to play? Like, I don't know.
Well, they get the Lakers in March, so.
We should get Luka
for that one. Who knows what the playing weight will be, but you should get him for that one. No, just sticking with Jaylen for a moment, though. You said he's gone away from Holiday and he's gone away from White and even Porzingis and Horford. Like, aren't those guys different than Jaylen Brown? Like,
no, for sure.
Jaylen Brown with five fouls, I get it. You sit him for a stretch when he picks up his fifth, which is what they did. Don't you get him in there for the final 2 minutes for his defense and shot making? And I think clutch free throws can be an issue for him here and there, but you want him on the floor to hit free throws. I still think that was odd. It's different to sit down, even as good of players as they are, White and Holiday and guys like that versus Jaylen.
Oh, no, 100%. This is the first time we've seen it with Jaylen. And again, Jaylen, I guarantee, did not take that kindly. He was not happy about it, but I mean, Joe just wants to win, and if he believes those guys are the ones that give him the best chance to do it, that's what they're going to do. Again, they outscored Cleveland, and right after Jaylen checked out is when Derek White got hot, and maybe inserting Jaylen back in would have maybe taken the ball away from out of Derek White's hands a little bit, and he was red hot in the fourth quarter. So there's a lot that goes into it, and it's not like, again, we're talking about a game in February, and then I mean, Jaylen Brown, come the postseason, is going to be in your closing lineup. So a couple months from now, we're not going to even remember this. We're never going to talk about this.
I thought Cleveland's the next best team, the toughest challenger all year.
So
Jones thinks it's the Knicks. Brad Stevens loves the Cavs. Where are you at now? Even if you had somebody different at the beginning of the year, where are you at now in the East?
I mean, they're 40-10,
yeah.
And still, they've. They, I mean, the thing with them is they've cooled off a little bit as recently. Like, their defense fell out of the top 20 in the last month, so they have to clean up there. But they have three all-stars, and that's a legit team that I'm really looking at. And the hierarchy of the East, I'm just looking at New York, Boston, Cleveland. Those are the three teams.
There's really nobody else, right?
There's really nobody else. I don't think Milwaukee got any better.
You don't think Kuzma's going to get it done?
I do not. No, I do not think.
What'd you think of that trade?
I think it was bizarre. And, you know, it's kind of disrespectful to Chris Middleton, don't you think? Like, this guy won a championship, gave everything. Like, I know the injuries play into it, and, of course, it's a cruel business, like we just saw with
Luka. But he has a massive player option for next year. So you're going to, like, we don't want to pay $34 million.
We're talking a $15 million contract with Springer, and then you're talking the Middleton one's a little different. So
I can't wait for Doc to throw Kuzma under the bus and, like, after a massive playoff loss, like, him under the bus because he doesn't get defensive rotations. Something like, I can't wait for Doc to do that because that's going to happen.
I'd be surprised if Middleton stays there, though. Either bought out or
maybe
he's going to be on the move again. He's not going to wear a Wizards jersey. I'd be shocked.
The point stands that I don't fear Milwaukee. I don't fear most of these teams in the East. Fearing them is the wrong word.
But I fear no man.
The reason that I think New York is a tougher matchup for the Celtics, I don't trust every night Cleveland's going to have another guy going besides Donovan Mitchell. Mitchell's a killer, and he's terrifying at the end of some of these games. He missed some threes last night in the final stretch that could have made the game go differently. We'll knock him for missing the shots. That's fine. But he's terrifying in some of these games. Nobody else scares me on Cleveland. The Knicks have other guys who I feel like
does Towns in the playoffs scare you?
No, but
I
more
feel
than,
like he could wither
but
away.
More than what's on Cleveland.
Yeah, I don't know. Jalen Brunson, he's better than Mobley, but like I don't know. Like I'm not a huge Towns guy. Brunson's badass.
Brunson and Mitchell is.
Josh Hart. I'm a big fan of his.
Josh Hart.
I like Hart as well. I feel like the Knicks. You have guys who you know are going to show
hates
up.
Darius Garland.
They feel deep. I don't like Garland. I don't really love Mobley. I see the talent with Mobley, the athleticism, the way he moves. I see all that, but I don't trust on him to show up in a 7-game series every night. I don't.
And they have matchup issues with the Celtics, Cleveland. I mean, they went at Garland all night last night, and that killer whale offense was just in full effect. Like, they were picking the matchups they wanted, and they got it every time. And I know the shooting percentages weren't great. They shot 40% from the field, which obviously is very mediocre, but I thought the process was great, and they were getting the shots that they want. And if you give them those shots in a 7-game series, I mean, Cleveland really is going to struggle.
I know the team's been on the road, but I'm curious what those guys thought of the Luka AD trade because they all follow it. There was that great shot of the guys on the Suns finding out about it on the bench, Durant and Beal being like, "What in the world is this?" We've talked to you off the air about it, but on the air, what was your initial thought of the Luka AD trade?
Yeah, it's been like a half week, and I'm still as confused as I was when I first saw it. Like, I can't fathom it. And the fact that you didn't shop him around, if you don't want to commit to him because you have issues with the conditioning or whatever, I don't understand that. I don't agree with it. The guy's been top 8 in MVP voting the last 5 years, first team, all NBA, each of those years. So I don't agree with it. But if you're going to do it, shop him. Like, see what you can get. You got one first-round pick and Anthony Davis, who's 6 years older than Luka. And Anthony Davis is still a great player.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the short term, he's going to contribute. But it's Luka Doncic. Like, it just makes no sense to me.
Do you have any concerns whatsoever? Because some people push back on this. I heard Perk the other day just laughing at the idea that LeBron and Luka couldn't play together. Do you have any concerns about how they fit?
I mean, I can see it just because they're both so ball dominant and want to score, but I do think LeBron's going to embrace this role and have a chance to kind of mold Luka. And that's an underrated aspect, I think, like of this trade is you're giving Luka one of the best athletes. Some consider, I know not Keith, but some consider to be the greatest
great athlete
in the sport.
Oh, God, no.
And, you know, he's 40 years old, still contributing he's doing.
Time out, Terp. Not to derail this.
Yes.
MJ or LeBron?
I mean, I never saw MJ, so I side with LeBron.
You know that he exists, though, right?
No, of course I do. Of course, you know that. But I side with LeBron.
Nice.
Yeah. I never saw The Godfather, so it can't be a good movie.
I also don't agree with the bubble being a Mickey Mouse.
Oh my God!
I mean, by
Turp,
the name
please.
Of it, yes.
Oh my God! I think that was a Mickey Mouse title.
That was a tough championship to win.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
LeBron got to take 3 months off.
No,
Anthony Davis needed it more than anybody else to take the time off. No traveling.
Get him.
The break did. But that's part of it.
There, yes, 100%.
That's a huge part of it. There's no road games. The Milwaukee Bucks were like undefeated
no
at home that year.
Either.
Yeah, you get
well,
no,
okay, exactly.
No home court advantage.
No home court advantage.
You're stuck in
which the Bucks
virtual
had.
Paul Pierce on the
that
wall.
That was so fake. It's not even funny. That was such a sham title.
I think it was pure hoops.
It's weird. Anthony,
that's what it was.
It's the maybe some say it was the purest championship.
It was the purest championship.
Yeah. Anthony Davis has had so many good 82-game seasons and won so many titles when they played
into the postseason. No, I agree.
That's the only knock on it, I give it. You know what? There's zero chance that team wins the title if you had a real year.
Turp has convinced me. LeBron greater than MJ. Yep. You've convinced me.
I flush it out. I think the Lakers created COVID. I think they're the ones that did it. They're like,
Lab leak.
Might have been Anthony Davis.
Laker leak theory is exactly what that was.
I think there's something up with that.
All right, Turp, I think you're onto something. It's most hoops-oriented, purest championship
form of hoops.
in the history of the sport.
That's right.
I think Turp's onto something with
this.
No more purest home stadiums. Just every team plays in one location. That's what we want.
All right, LeBron greater than MJ. Turp has swung me on that one. Good work, Turp.
That is insane. That is absolutely sickening. Go ahead. You were going to say something.
Who else do you think moves? Anybody?
For the Celtics?
No. League-wide.
Kevin Durant thing seems to really be picking up steam, which is interesting. Like, I could see a big trade kind of in full. And that's no reporting on that. That's just from what others are reporting.
He's going to play for more teams than Edwin Jackson when it's all said and done.
It'd be pretty fun if he went back to Golden State, though.
Who said this before the show? Was that you, Nick? That, like, he just, the fact he moves around so much has to be.
How great is Kevin Durant? I get he's a great scorer. I get he's a great player. But he's traded, like, every year and a half.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Should we look back on him as, like, a Bernard King, where he was just, like a high-level, I know it was before your time, Terp, so he couldn't have been that good. But, like a high-level scorer like that, where it's just a professional scorer, but
Carmelo.
Great one. Actually, that's an even better one. Yeah.
Is he Carmelo?
Yeah.
I mean, that Suns team, though, like, they thought they were going to compete for championships with Booker, Beal, and KD. It has been a dumpster fire.
They suck.
Like, just terrible.
Jimmy Butler going to get dealt?
The closer we get to the deadline, I feel like he has to, but the closer we get to the deadline.
Is it tomorrow, 4 p.m.?
3.
Ooh. 3 p.m.
Tomorrow, 3.
Good.
All right.
Either way, after
we'll
us.
Be all
did you see the report
it.
That teams are altering their flight schedules so they're not in the air during the trade deadline to prevent awkwardness on the plane?
Oh, so you're like, hey, bud, you just got traded?
Yes. Hasn't this come up before? Didn't this come up with the Celtics where there was a trade and they were all like, wait a minute, what?
And they're on the plane back. Mm.
Didn't that happen?
Pretty sure the Celtics flew back.
Can you drop
last
me
night,
off
so
in Milwaukee before we land?
Layover.
Okay, yeah. So best guess. Yes or no, Durant gets traded.
I think
where does he go? Golden State?
Back to Golden State.
Okay. Yes or no, Jimmy Butler gets traded. You think no. Okay. Where, if he were to get traded, where does he go?
I think it's part of a bigger deal and possibly even that KD. Like, this could be like a massive trade.
Well, yeah. Nice. I mean, because I thought the De'Aaron Fox, Zach LaVine, like all that, like that's a good basketball trade.
The big holdup is Bradley Beal and his no trade clause.
Oh my God.
That's the big holdup. I feel like something would have been done if
he's
not.
Fallen off a cliff, hasn't he?
Terribly.
Yeah.
I really liked him in Washington.
Remember all those Bradley Beal for Jaylen Brown trades that
we talked
about?
Those were like 2 years ago.
I know. It wasn't that long ago. And it's like, he's from St. Louis. He and Tatum.
I was going to say, you know who probably would have done it? Tatum.
Tatum would have done it.
Tatum would have done it. I actually
it's like his big brother.
Believe it or not, I've traded Jaylen for 50 million guys over the years. All of them would have been terrible trades.
Do you have a favorite?
That was not one I ever would have. Probably Harden. I was like, I'd trade him for James Harden. Would have traded him for Westbrook. Would have traded him for Durant. I would have traded
Paul George.
I would have definitely.
Yeah, PG-13. Butler was on the list a bunch of times.
I would have traded Jaylen a million times. One guy I never said I'd trade him for was Bradley Beal.
Yeah, you had to draw a line somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good, win there.
That's very big of me. Thank you very much. Okay, so you think those guys could all move in one large deal. I heard...
Literally anybody could be traded. That's what we also learned with Luka and Davis, is two guys that weren't even rumored and one guy that we thought was legit untradeable. So, like, throw a name out there. If they have a guy like Nico Harrison running the team, anybody could be traded.
This is a good text. I'm sorry to derail this again. 617-779-7937. Does Terp understand that GOAT means of all time?
Yes, the OAT.
Not just that you've seen.
Yes. No, I do. I do. But to me, it's it's LeBron.
Who is your GOAT?
It's LeBron.
His GOAT?
It's my GOAT.
I think the GOAT.
I think Terp has swung me.
No, you're not.
The
purest form of hoops.
Michael Jordan got food poisoned and had to play a game in Utah.
The world was being ravaged outside of the bubble in Orlando.
Jordan had a bad pizza one day, went out there and lit up the Jazz, who had two Hall of Famers on their team. Pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, I would like to play up at least who the Lakers went head-to-head with. That was a pretty disappointing Heat team.
I mean,
I just know
that was a disappointing
good thing to know
time
that,
in our lives.
Good thing to know Celtics fans wouldn't have counted that bubble championship.
I wouldn't have.
Good thing that nobody here would have given credit to that, raised the banner for that, treated it like a real championship, duck boat parades, little bubbles over them, nothing like that. We wouldn't have done anything like
them
that.
Them winning the in-season tournament last year also further proves my point on what a sham that was. Like, great, you guys can win like a little tournament. That's fun.
What about a whole
behind the tournament? I thought you were a fan.
Man, no, wait. No.
Not
him.
Not me.
So LeBron
you on the show. Don't you pay attention?
LeBron winning the in
term.
LeBron winning the in season tournament.
You're in the show photo.
Did MJ ever win the in season tournament?
Nope.
No, right,
I'm with Terp.
It is also on his reference page. I don't know if you noticed that.
That's
LeBron's reference
Terp, you've
page.
Done it. You've done it. You swung me to LeBron's side.
23-24 IST championship.
Did he ever beat Angola in the 1992 Olympics? LeBron, but he didn't. Jordan did.
Well, you're right.
Jordan beat him like 80.
You want to compare Olympic resumes? LeBron sure. definitely has the Olympic resume over Jordan.
Did, we're bringing in gold medals? You want to bring in the college resume?
Nope.
Okay. Did you win a title in college?
No,
like my guy MJ did?
He didn't have to go to college.
Was he maybe
Jordan,
not allowed in?
Jordan had to go to college.
Where were his SATs?
Did LeBron ever get cut by his middle school
Where
team?
Where were his ACTs?
LeBron made all of his AAU and junior high teams
didn't
and everything like that.
Didn't play one Final Four.
No,
that's pretty
not.
Bad.
That's true. All right, well, Terp, we appreciate the time. Thanks for settling the greatest of all time debate. And I do think...
It's over. Settled.
I do
over.
Think, over. I do think I kind of miss Jaden Springer already. I like that deal.
Well, Terp just says he's the best defender in the league.
I like the deal less after so talking to Terp.
I
do.
One of
on
the best.
Ball. On ball
Oh,
defenders.
That's still pretty
I mean,
good.
Have you watched him like, on
I mean,
ball?
He
it's,
plays
it's
three
incredible.
Minutes a night, Terp, so it's true. I see it's him true. Sometimes.
I'm just happy for Wick and his siblings that they can make a few extra million.
Give it back to the fans.
Yeah, no,
give
good.
Give it back, Herb.
Good, I'm real happy about that. So that's Terp. Every
money night here at the Garden. We walk in, we give you some of Jaden Springer's money.
And they parachute it down.
Yes, that's what I want.
It's every Celtics Wednesday with Terp here on Jones and Keefe. We'll get back to the Bruins right after Trent. With Billy Laney. Bruins, big winners last night over the Minnesota Wild. I feel like you can't possibly like a team name without the S on the end of it. I feel like you got to be one of those.
Not a huge fan of
the
it.
Wild.
And it's like too broad, like your mascot could then be anything.
Yeah.
But just look at my backyard. It's wild as it gets. I got all kinds of stuff back there. Bunnies, groundhogs.
I like their uniform, though. They have a good uniform.
Yeah, it's not bad. No, it's not bad. I guess... Like, I don't hate...
You like the Utah Yeti.
I like the Yeti.
I know it's
like
not
going to
be approved. Yeah, I don't like the Kraken.
You don't like Kraken?
It's stupid,
better than Wild.
It's a stupid name.
But Kraken's very specific.
Yeah.
It's a big sea beast with all the tentacles.
What does it have to do with Seattle?
They're like right on the... You know, they're right by the water.
The Puget Sound? Do you think the Kraken snuck into the harbor there? No, I don't think so.
What the hell
He's
was that?
He's
got
to be deep out in the ocean. He's
what
not in Seattle.
That's a Kraken. Yeah, no, there's a lot of Kraken lore in Seattle. Whereas Minnesota Wild just like... It's kind of lazy.
Yeah,
great
I don't
logo though.
No, that's what
like
Jones
I
said, just said.
I like the uniform is what I said. Yeah. The logo's good as well. I don't disagree. But you want to bring back the North Stars? I'm not going to argue with you.
North Stars, hell yeah.
Good win for the Bruins. Good decisive win I thought earlier for Terp as well. Settling the greatest of all time
disagree.
Today between MJ and LeBron. Just put Keith in a corner.
He started the conversation by saying I never saw Jordan.
Uh-huh.
And then he was like LeBron's my goat.
And then
and I was like, "Well, what about the goat?"
And then he brought up the purest championship of all time. It's just all hoops, and you had no response. I think you just sat there and had no response.
He tried to talk me into the bubble title, which is not even a title.
So that was a decisive
that we're playing.
Decisive win for Terp earlier today. If you missed any of it, it's on the Odyssey app. Decisive win for the Bruins last night as well. Here's where it's important to me: is you don't want the team to retool. You don't want them to trade Brad Marchand, which Friedman is now speculating on, the second best insider in the sport
right.
after Scoops Keefe, openly speculating about Brad Marchand on the move and wondering if Edmonton is a potential fit. If you want to keep this together to try to make a run, the team needs to do it and do it now. They need to do
they
it
going, get
going into
here.
The roster yeah. freeze yeah. For Four Nations. They need to do that coming out. They do not have a lot of room to spare because, as Friedman said, if they keep taking on water... And they've been taking on water. They're still not in a playoff spot, despite the win last night. Not in a playoff spot. Forget factoring in games in hand and everything else. Mm-hmm. If they keep taking on water, they can move Brad Marchand. So you want to keep this together and make a real run at it? They need to win games like last night. And to their credit, they did.
And after two bad games, they've had two good games. But that's sort of been the nature of the team, right? They had the long losing streak, and then they won 3 out of 4. And I think the other game in there was a shootout loss. So they got points in 4 straight. And you're like, hey, they're starting to turn things around. And then you get absolutely blitzed by Buffalo. So they've been a difficult team to figure out. But doesn't that also kind of help answer Cam Neely's question about do I commit to this team?
Right. They haven't gone on a run. They're still the same thing. They're hot. They're cold. They're up. They're down.
And just when you want to talk yourself into it, then they have these bad games. And you're like, oh, wait a minute. Like, I don't want to trade more first round picks or more, you know, potential players that we like to get rentals or anything like that. A couple of years ago, when they brought in guys like Orlov and Bertuzzi and Hathaway, you didn't think you were going to really re-sign those guys, but it made all the sense in the world. Your team was a wagon. Like, they had a couple of regular season runs there where you're like, yeah, you better be buying in on this team. And then so when you're like, all right, well, how come the pipeline is all the prospects are terrible? It's like, they don't draft until the second or third round most years, so what do you expect? But now you're like, all right, is this team worth buying on? And I just hope they don't do nothing, because that would be real Red Sox path. Like, where they're like, well, we're just going to play it out, and we're going to let the trade deadline kind of come and go, and if we play ourselves into it, great, and if we don't, well, then so be it. We'll take the ramifications afterwards. So at the end of the year, Brad Marchand, Trent Frederick, a couple other free agents, they just walk away, and you didn't get anything for them at the deadline. They're like, what are you doing?
Is it too simplistic to say if they're going to go on a run, they got to get Swayman right? I mean, is that too simplistic? Is it too obvious to just make it all about the goalie?
No, it's more so in like basketball with the best players, right? When they win or lose, we're like, hey, Tatum Brown. In hockey, though, like I don't think it's a surprise that all the stuff in the offseason with Swayman kind of bled into the regular season. He wasn't great. The defensemen in front of him also weren't great, and there were some really kind of weird games. You end up firing your coach, and you kind of go on. But now Swayman has put together some really good games. There's always like a one-off really bad one that kind of tanks his numbers. But between Swayman and Pastrnak having a crazy month of January, like that might be what Cam can sell himself on. Is like, all right, now my two best players are playing like the two best players. Like, that guy looks like a 50-goal scorer right now, and that guy looks like closer to a top-five goalie. So maybe that's how you convince yourself. Like, all right, our record is what it is, but these two weren't playing the way that they are now for the whole season.
The thing you got to do is iron out the bad games from Swayman, because I think there's more good games as the season's gone along.
Yeah.
His best month, statistically, believe it or not, actually was December. It felt like it was January to me, but he had...
But a couple snowmans, right?
Was he had the 8-goal game against Winnipeg, and so... You need him to iron out those games. He's had a couple, including Buffalo the other night, which was a real head. At least Winnipeg's good. Winnipeg's lit them up both times they played. Didn't matter if it was Korpisalo or Swayman. They got lit up both times. The Buffalo one the other day was shocking. Not that a goalie should ever give up 8, even against a good team, but it was shocking against Buffalo to give up 6.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got to iron those out, but there are more good games, it feels like, as the season's gone along. It might be overly simplistic to say it, but I think it's accurate. If they're going to go on any kind of run to the postseason and then a run if they get there, they need Swayman right. And you see flashes here and there. It's his third shutout of the year, which I'm honestly surprised he even has that many.
Yeah,
and that was against a good team last night. Minnesota's not only a good team, but a good road team. And so they were able to pick off that victory last night, largely because of Jeremy Swayman. The reason you advanced around last year was because of Jeremy Swayman.
Mm-hmm.
You could have done it earlier if you didn't toy around with starting Ullmark earlier in the postseason, if you ask me. So maybe it's obvious and simplistic to say it, but I think it's right. You got to get him right.
Oh, yeah.
And you got to iron out those poor games in between. Mark and Medford asked the question. They probably won't. You wouldn't start Swayman tonight, try to ride that wave?
No.
You start Korpisalo against the Rangers.
Yeah, because Korpisalo also hasn't been terrible for the season. Better than I thought for the season. And you just haven't done that. You haven't done that yet. Played him in back-to-back nights, right? Obviously, he's had plenty of back-to-back starts, but like not in back-to-back nights. So I wouldn't. You have two games until the Four Nations. So tonight against New York, and then home Saturday against Vegas. So you start him in that Vegas game, and then the Four Nations plays out, and then you come back on February 2 weeks later, and then you throw him in that game, and then you go on like a little bit of a run. You don't play back-to-backs until. March 1st and 2nd after this. So
it's the one time you really have a decision to make. Go to Korpisalo and lean in.
If he was much worse or whatever, or like you're getting smoked in those games, then I'd say, like, all right, maybe you got to do something.
The one thing I would say about the Rangers matchup is you just brought up Four Nations. Well, you're about to get a big long break. And so, I don't know. Is that a reason?
Swayman?
No, that's a good point. I don't know how much he's going to play in it, but he is on Team USA. That's a good point. But you're not going to have the same schedule you'd have back-to-backs and things like that.
No, that's true.
Yeah, maybe Swayman... maybe it's a reason to lean out on Swayman now that you bring it up. What was the Friedman comment? You had the quote in front of you about Brad Marchand and the potential he could get dealt at the deadline. This is something that we've suggested and speculated on. Not that it's a key scoop or anything, but just wrong in the room and he's a rental player, you could move him.
One of the hockey writers for The Athletic even speculated late last week that would be a good fit for Edmonton. And like, could Edmonton look into pursuing Brad Marchand? And then Elliot Friedman said... Quote, if Boston takes on water, I'm really going to be curious to see where this goes. There was a time in this year where I didn't think there was a chance that Marchand was going to be out, and now I think it's not as certain, depending on what happens here. So, yeah, at one point, Marchand probably seemed untradeable for the team, but when you're scuffling the way that you are, he remains without a contract for next year. I think you have to explore all avenues, and now so there's a little bit of smoke coming out with it. Even with this two-game winning streak, you're still on the outside of the playoffs through... How many games have they played? 60 games or whatever it is? 50-something games?
I'll get you, yeah. So something approaching 60. I don't think they're quite there yet.
No, they're not at 60. They are at 55 games. That's a good sample size. And so they need to consider it. But now you have other guys in the hockey world kind of speculating on, you know, what might happen with them.
Well, at least not everybody's saying it's crazy and it couldn't possibly happen and you don't trade your captain. At least we're not hearing much of that.
No.
So you can jump in on this, the idea of trading Brad Marchand. I think that's the most important thing. You want to catch Cam Neely's eye, and you want to give them reason, meaning ownership, the team president, hockey operations. You want to give them reason to believe and not full-on sell-off pieces like Brad Marchand. Then they need to keep winning games like they did last night, and we'll see if they continue to do so. I just fact-checked myself because I got some pushback on my comment about Swayman.
Uh-oh.
In the playoffs last year, they said Swayman stunk. They needed both goalies to advance. Dumb.
I thought Swayman was much better.
No, Allmark lost them game two. Yep. Swayman won game one, 5-1. That's one goal allowed. That's good, right?
I think so.
Allmark lost game two. Swayman won games 3 and 4. He did drop games 5 and 6, but he gave up 2 goals in each game, and then they won game 7.
Yeah, Swayman was good.
Yeah, so like I was always on the Swayman side of that debate versus Allmark. Not that we need to have it over again. But you want to go on a run, even against a team like the Leafs, you need him to continue to round into form, and maybe it's even too aggressive. This was pointed out in the Twitch chat. It's too aggressive to say he's figured it out.
Yeah.
He's better than where he started the year, but these blips still pop up far too often. And if you can iron those out, I think you're looking at a different goalie. But he hasn't been able to do that all year long. That's been his issue all year.
But it's funny. So, you know, who is going to be your goalie in the playoffs was a big question for Jim Montgomery last year. And then the offseason, they get rid of Ullmark, so it makes it a lot easier for Jim Montgomery, who is no longer here. And now you're saying, hey, for Joe Sacco, your decision is going to be easy. It's like, well, yeah, if they make the playoffs, like now they don't even have that locked up. You know, for many years it was a guarantee. What are they haven't missed the playoffs in,
I think it's 8 or 9 years
in there. Like usually you just kind of roll out of bed, make the playoffs, and then that's where the season for them really begins. But now this year they're going to have to fight tooth and nail just to get in.
Is this a real question? Does Keith win if Marchand gets traded? Is that a real question?
I mean, I've already won, I feel like.
If they trade the captain and people don't give you the win, Keith, I don't even know what to tell them.
Well, people are pretty dug in on this, I think.
I can think of one person who won't give you the win on that, probably regardless.
That's true.
Although he'd probably have to defend the team on making that trade after they made it.
Pretzel time.
Yeah.
Pretzel time for some of those out there.
In an unrelated story, you can hear Andrew Raycroft tomorrow on WEEI Afternoons at 4:30 on a Bruins Thursday.
Maybe they'll ask him about this Elliot Friedman report.
I'm sure we'll have more thoughts on that.
Or is he actually going to be on Arcan show this week? And then next week, maybe one of the weekend shows.
No, that's a few months from
now. Got it.
WEEI's coverage of football's postseason brought to you by Wise Snacks. Nobody does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. Speaking of the Super Bowl, let's get back into it. Are there reasons to watch the commercials anymore? We'll do that coming up next. Jones and Kiefer on WEEI. Get back into the Super Bowl matchup, the two quarterbacks. I think Keith and I are higher on Jalen Hurts than a lot of you out there. Does Drake May have a case of the top 10? For NFL quarterbacks next season in 2025. We'll get back into that coming up with all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. That's also your text number. One text here on the Bruins. Guys, listen, 1 seed or 8 seed, playoffs or playoffs. Spoiled with the top seed for the past couple of years and disappointed. If you make the playoffs, you ride it. The Blues beat your ass as a wild card. Doesn't matter what you think, playoffs or playoffs.
No, but my point is we have no idea if they're going to make the playoffs right now. So Cam Neely has... till March 7th or 8th or whatever it is to make these, he and Don Sweeney, to make these big-time decisions. So when you were the 1 seed for, like, all season, even if you dropped down, like, there was no doubt you were going to make the playoffs is sort of my point.
Yeah.
Whereas right now, you're absolutely teetering because now it's kind of out of your control. Like, you can even go, like, balls to the wall here, but teams have played fewer games than you. What if they get hot or stay hot in the case of Detroit, and then you just miss anyway?
the thing, too, is, I mean, if you go into the playoffs on a tear with some momentum, and I know momentum, I'm sure there's plenty of test cases where teams went stumbling into the playoffs and won a cup, and teams went in red hot and lost in round one. Like, I'm sure there's plenty of cases of that. But I do know with the Blues specifically, that specific example, that team was hot for months going into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they came in as a wild card team, but that team was red hot. If you're telling me the Bruins are going to play the way they played last night for two or three straight months with momentum going into the postseason, well, then, yeah, I agree. Then I believe that they're a team that could go on a run. The way that sport works, sure. Mm-hmm. But they haven't done that at all to this point, and it's February. And we're a month away from the trade deadline, and I would need to see more consistency before I believe in the team going on a run, even knowing the nature of the sport. So you can jump in on that. We'll get to our quarterbacks coming up as well. We were power ranking earlier this week, Keith, what we're looking forward to the most in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Because not everybody's looking forward to the Chiefs and their Chief Pete.
Or the three Chief.
Or their potential three Chief.
Yeah, it's on the line.
Versus the city of Philadelphia. Not everybody's looking forward to the product on the field. Well, I'll watch the game. As I've famously said, it's going to rate well.
I think so.
But I think people are looking for other things to watch in the Super Bowl.
Well, it's like snacks, halftime show, party.
All these things.
What is it?
But neither of us were very bullish on the commercials the other day.
No.
Is that the kind of thing where that is antiquated, given the way we watch and consume media, given the way we can watch these commercials before and after the fact, we can all watch
changed.
And catch up on our phones? Like, do they? I'm surprised they still charge for the rate they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's $8 million Super Bowl commercial, something like that.
I mean, there's just so many eyeballs on it, so they can charge for it. But you're right, because they can get eyeballs on the product in other ways, right? Like, at one point, you would have to watch commercials. Like, whatever show you wanted to watch, whether it was a TV show or a movie, like a TV movie or sports, you were just stuck there watching commercials. Now, I don't know how many, like, real full commercials I watch in a given week. Because even when there's like
even if I watch them, I watch them like a zombie and don't retain any of it. My
zombie.
Eyes are on the TV, but I don't even know what it's for.
And it's really only during live sports. And so because like most of my shows, you either have them on a streaming service now, or you even DVR them if it happens to be on like a cable channel, then you can like fast forward the commercials. Last night's a good example. You know, when the Bruins were in a commercial, you're watching the Celtics. When the Celtics are in a commercial, you're back to the Bruins or whatever.
100%.
Or even if you're not doing that, you're like back on your phone. You're doing something else. But the Super Bowl is still the one time where like I will watch the commercials. Now, how much I really retain?
Do
I
you? You're still like, hey, the commercials are on.
Well, not that I'm not shushing anybody, but
you're like you're locked in on the commercials.
Yes. However, no, I am, but I think it's starting to fade because that was sort of what you always thought about the Super Bowl, and then you're always left kind of disappointed. Then you're always like, all right, why did I sit here for these 4 minutes? I could have been in the kitchen grabbing more snacks or something. Like, it's kind of a miss. Also, one of the things I always like to watch for is like the brand new movie trailers or TV show trailers. They release all those online anyway. There's longer versions of them online. They've already been out.
Wiggy were going on and on about the Fantastic Four one today. I was like, I thought that was coming out during the Super Bowl. No, it's already out.
It's the same way like when you go to the theater and they're like, here are the trailers. At one point, as a kid, that was amazing. You're like, I got to go see what's coming out.
I do still like that.
I've already seen them all.
Yeah, locked in on them too. Well,
I've seen them all.
You have, but I think most people... I do think that's different for most people.
But how many times the way
you follow that stuff Dork Podcast is very different than the way I think most people. Everybody's kind of, you know, watching and consuming commercials
but
differently.
My guess
not everybody's watching trailers the way you do.
You're probably right. I'm kind of a sicko. But like in 2 weeks, the new Captain America movie comes out.
Yeah.
The Fantastic Four trailer will for sure be before that movie. What percentage of people in the audience are going to be watching that for the first time? Probably zero.
Yeah, maybe.
Because if you're into it enough to go to the theater to see Captain America, you're somewhat into the MCU.
That's a good point.
You've already seen that one.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's kind of now applied to Super Bowl commercials. Like the Dunk Kings thing, great, right? Like the Ben Affleck, Matt Damon stuff. They're already like showing new ones or clips from new ones. Like, so we can't even wait till Sunday now to see it? So I wonder how many good ones we're going to even see for the first time now, which is sort of a weird way of doing it.
Yeah, and... Did the Dunk Kings commercial, just fill me in on this, did the Dunk Kings commercial blow up because people liked it during the Super Bowl, or did it blow up because of the social media campaign after the fact that kind of retroactively added to it?
I would say both. It's because, you know, however many million people are watching the Super Bowl then made it crazy online. So, like, and you know this too, like, just from tweeting during Patriots games versus tweeting on like a random Tuesday afternoon. There's so much more engagement.
There's a bigger pop and more engagement during the game.
So everybody
more eyeballs on it.
And then all of a sudden, all you need is like one clip that goes around, that goes viral, and then everybody's in on it. But it's because it was a Super Bowl. If they ran that same ad during like a 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon game, it gets good buzz, but not like this.
No, that's fair. And it gets the, as you said, the megaphone because of the platform.
Because aren't you also doing that? Like, are you going to be on Twitter during the Super Bowl?
I don't know.
Yeah, I would like to say no, but I might be.
Yeah, probably. Not early, but probably by like the second half.
But that also speaks to, like, the commercials aren't great. So rather than being locked in the commercials, I'll be like,
when my Saquon bet hits or whatever, I'll probably, try to be active on my phone. Yeah.
Especially with Tom Brady doing the game. I think there's going to be a lot of reaction to, like, stuff he's saying.
That's a good point, too. So maybe without the Patriots in it, maybe that reels you in a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, attention to detail as opposed to just watching the game and gabbing away and shoving snacks in your face.
Yeah.
Maybe that reels you in a little bit more. I do want to put, since you mentioned Brady, I want to push back on something I heard Wiggy say.
Uh-oh.
This morning to Greg, he said we're both very out on Brady, which I think largely for this year is accurate. I think we've given him his due the last couple. I think Brady's noticeably gotten better over the course of the year.
Yeah, I think so.
I think my working theory is he needed to get off Cowboys games. They stuck him on too many terrible Cowboys games earlier in the year. When he's on a better game, I think Brady's been noticeably better. So
a lot of it's first
impressions. I think we've been giving him credit as the year's gone along these last couple of weeks.
Which is funny. So
I actually expect him to do a good job on this game.
I also expect it to be his last game.
You think?
I'm one of those. Yeah.
Why?
Oh, he owns the team and he's like running the Raiders. And but I think the rest of the league is going to be
Is that his choice or you think the league's going to force him to do it?
I think it's going to be like a combination. Like the league, Fox, Brady.
I think if it's up to him, he's going to try to do everything.
Probably.
I think the only way he doesn't keep doing both is if the league says you can't. And I don't think they're going to.
I think they will. I think the rest of the league
I think
is
they
going
should
to sort of speak up to it.
But I don't think they're going to.
I will see that my prediction is this is it for him. He'll go off on a high note. He'll end his, not his playing career in the Super Bowl, but his broadcasting career in the Super Bowl. Yeah, I mean, he's not even allowed to criticize the officials. Now, not a lot of guys do.
Aikman
does.
Yeah.
Some of them don't really feel comfortable doing it, obviously, but you just know that he can't. So that sucks. He doesn't really do the full job that all the other guys do, like meeting with the teams during the week and picking up all these other, like, maybe inside info. He's not allowed to do any of that.
I thought I saw for the Super Bowl somehow, and I don't get the loophole, but I thought I saw a headline that he can sit in production meetings for the Super Bowl.
So maybe they will, and maybe that's because they also know he's done.
Yeah, maybe.
He's not doing it anymore.
But that
but we'll see.
That whole thing to me is an interesting component of this that we haven't really spent much time talking about.
No, I'm with you. He's gotten better.
That will be something worth paying attention to and reacting to on Monday for sure. 617-779-7937. You can jump in on this. Are the Super Bowl commercials even worth paying attention to? It doesn't seem like they are compared to years past, but Dunkin'
there's like two. Yeah, there'll be a couple.
But it's a great example of the impact that you can still have from a Super Bowl commercial. That's true. We'll circle back to that and more on the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL. Does Drake May have a case to be a top 10 quarterback in 2025 projecting forward? We'll get to that with your thoughts next.